This podcast brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot.
Hey everyone, it's Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Electric Aircraft Symposium in Santa Rosa, California. I'm with Sanjay Singh, who is now CEO of a company called Near Earth Autonomy and has experience before that in automotive autonomy. In your talk, you talked about some interesting examples of research that's going on now, autonomous flight of helicopters, self-landing, takeoff, and so forth. I wanted to ask you what you think is the practical timeline on this sort of technology being fielded in a way that basically will be commercialized.
So the technology could be fielded soon in as small form factors. But to be able to carry people, I think it would have to have the same kind of reliability as general aviation, which has, you know, sort of failure rates of one out of a million. They say one out of a million flights or one out of a million hours you'll have some sort of a fault. So to be able to get that level of certification, I think it's going to take some time before we start putting humans inside these kinds of things. So a car or an airplane might fly by itself and land in a small area. That would take some time, but I think the idea is that we can see these things have this same technology maturing on small autonomous air vehicles much sooner.
Are there any technological barriers at the moment, or are they mostly regulatory?
Yeah, there are. The form factor of these things is still pretty big. The cost is pretty high. So they're coming down in cost. I think, with self-driving cars, there's a lot of technology that's being developed and sensing elements, computing elements that are being developed because there's a big industry in self-driving cars. I think the similar kinds of forces are going to help with developing sensing for and computing for self-flying aircraft.
As a robotics guy, looking at both the automotive challenge and the aircraft aviation challenge, which do you see as greater?
In some ways, the aircraft challenge is not as much as the automotive one. There are tremendous problems on the ground that just go away in the air because... You on the ground, you have to actually drive fairly close to things. If you drive on an undivided highway, for instance, you're going at 100 miles an hour, or maybe somewhere 60 to 100 miles an hour, maybe less than a foot away from something that's coming in the opposite direction. So a split second can make the difference between safe travel and, you know, a catastrophic collision. I think there's variations, you know, in there. So something on the ground that might a person might be able to see that's an oil slick, or something else that's laying on the ground that they might be able to swerve around that a system might not be able to detect. And then there are many more options for air vehicles to avoid dangerous situations. They fly far from things. They don't need to get close to things. So in some ways it's easier, but with aviation, the potential for damage is, and potential for accidents, how much damage they could do is much higher. So the certification required is actually at a higher level. There's also kind of an interesting political issue. Cars are regulated, or automotive safety is regulated by the states, and airplane safety is regulated by the federal government. The FAA has, pretty severe... makes sense. They have fairly conservative standards, and they tend to not be an early adopter, whereas to test something on a ground vehicle, on an automotive car, is pretty easy. You could actually drive in traffic, and it's not such a hard thing. To put a camera on the outside of an aircraft, a Cessna, and fly it around requires the FAA to come, give you an experimental license, and then have it be commissioned and then decommissioned. So very small things can take a long time for air vehicles.
If you draw the timeline out and you think about something like the autonomous airliner or the autonomous air freighter, what time frame would you see that occurring?
So when you talk about these things being autonomous in the context of airport infrastructure, then things get very simple because airplanes... Our airports are set up to have clear passage while you're taking off and landing. for miles and miles. Air traffic around there is controlled. This is as opposed to sort of landing in the middle of somewhere where you might, you know, if your aircraft goes bad, then you might have to land in somebody's backyard or worse, right, on top of your neighbor's tree or something else like this. So I think when you're talking large aircraft that might take off and land at airports using ILS or anything else like this, this is much sooner. I think I would give it, you know, somewhere in the next decade. Technically, it's not as challenging as it is from a regulatory standpoint.
You mentioned in your talk that small quadcopters and small UAS are kind of informing this entire process. And is that going to kind of filter down into light GA, light general aviation autonomy?
I think the technology for automation is being developed on these small aircraft. That's helping. And, you know, then you can take this stuff and put it on GA.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Electric Aircraft Symposium in Santa Rosa, California. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by IFR Magazine, the magazine for the accomplished pilot.